Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. My name is Pastor Lindsay, and I serve the congregation here at First United Methodist Church in Brighton and Whitmore Lake. Thank you for worshiping with us online today. We have both an online campus as well as in-person worship at our Brighton campus at 9:30 and 11 o'clock, and our Whitmore Lake campus at 9:30. We warmly welcome you to worship with us in person or online any Sunday. We're glad you're here, and we'd love to know that you were here and want to help you get better connected to the life of the church. So please take a moment when you're able to visit our church website and fill out our connection card. It's on our website, which is www.brightonfumc.org. As you click on our worship page, there you're going to find our connection card. It helps us get you better connected to the life of the church, as well as update our church office staff with any connection contact information you might like to share with us. Today in worship, we're finishing up our sermon series called You're Invited, as we've been looking at scripture passages and stories from the Gospels of Jesus encouraging us to know him more, as well as inviting us to become more invitational about our faith, encouraging people to invite those to church, invite people to come worship with us, invite people, friends and families and neighbors to get involved in our church community. So we'll be finishing up our sermon series on You're Invited. And you certainly are invited to be a part of our church community. And we want you to extend an invite to others. So if you take a moment to share this worship video on your social media pages, help us to spread the word about First United Methodist Church. Perhaps somebody you know who it might be looking for a church home, and we would love to be that place. Well, with those announcements shared, I would invite you now to open your heart and your mind to a time of worship. Let's sing together and praise God.
From our eyes, most blessed, most glorious. splendor of night I defeat. Immortal, invisible, God only wise.
Please join me in the opening prayer. We pray together, Jesus, the Lord and Savior of us all. Be with us today in worship. Lift us up and strengthen us to be your voice in the world today. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Today's scripture comes from Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you join me now in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to go out and make disciples of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but the message in the scripture that we read today really speaks to me for many reasons. But one of the reasons that it speaks to me is it's the very last words that Jesus shares with the disciples in the gospel according to Matthew. These are his final statements. It's his final command. He gives these encouragement and instruction right before he ascends into heaven. And as we read these passages, it's clear that Jesus is encouraging the disciples to go out into the world with all of the power and authority that was given to Jesus, go out into the world and make disciples as he did with them. Go out and baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go out and do more incredible things than even Christ himself had done up to that point in the ministry. What a crazy challenge and expectation for them to go out and do these things. But they had been following in his footsteps for 3 years. They called him teacher, rabbi. The one who was teaching and instructing them now said that the students were to go out and do the teaching. As I mentioned before, these were Jesus' last words during his earthly ministry, according to the book of Matthew. And sometimes I think the last words that we share, especially at the end of somebody's life or time here on earth, tend to carry more weight than other words that we use throughout the course of our life. Sometimes as we move through our journey, we sugarcoat things or don't necessarily put it all out there. But when you know you're at the end, you cut right to the chase. And the words that you share matter. The words that you share have weight. The words that you share are significant. And as you are breathing your last breath, sometimes you say things that are so deeply ingrained within you that you almost have no choice but to say them over anything else. Nostradamus, the famous person for predicting future events, oftentimes was said to have said at his deathbed, "Tomorrow at sunrise, I shall no longer be here." And of course, Nostradamus was correct. He was known for making all kinds of predictions about the future. It turned out that he passed away the following day. William Henry Seward, the U.S. Secretary of State and architect of the Alaska Purchase, was asked if he had any final words, and he said, "Nothing, only love one another." Marie Antoinette, on her way to the guillotine, stepped on her executioner's foot. And in a last act of protest, she said, "Pardon moi, monsieur." Harriet Tubman was said, as she was spending her last moments here on earth, to have gathered her friends and family around her near her deathbed and simply broke out in a song that no doubt had carried her numerous evenings on the Underground Railroad in 1913. Her last words were, "Swing low, sweet chariot." John Wayne, at 72, died in his home in LA, and he turned to his wife and he said, "Of course, I know who you are. You're my girl. I love you." Talk about that John Wayne charm. Sir Winston Churchill's last word are, "I'm bored with it all," which I find to be hilarious. And Steve Jobs, according to the testimony of his sister, went off into the afterlife by simply saying the same two words over three times. "Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow." It was as if he was seeing something at the end of his life, and even the great inventor Steve Jobs was impressed with what he was seeing at the end of the course of his life. As I mentioned before, we oftentimes say things that matter to us at the end of our journey. We don't mince words, and I've had the privilege of standing next to some folks as they've walked down the last couple of steps of their life, surrounded by family and friends, and quite often what stands out to me the most is how often people want you to hold their hand. A symbolic gesture that despite the fact that they're going on ahead of us, they don't want to make that journey alone. At the end of the day, a lot of people love to have a couple or an individual in the room while they walk down their last steps of life, perhaps surrounded by their entire family and friends. I remember one day I was visiting a nursing home and one of the nurses came in and I was simply having a conversation with one of our church members at the time, and the nurse came in and said, "Pardon me, Pastor, there's a resident just down the hallway who's about to pass away, and they were wondering if somebody might come and issue their last rites." "Of course," I said, "I would be honored to go in," and asked if there was a particular faith tradition of the individual who was passing so that I might honor and respect any customs or practices that they might have had in their faith. And the nurse told me that they were Protestant Christian. And so I was able to go in there, and the family immediately welcomed me in as a complete stranger. And we gathered around the person who was passing and held hands in a circle, offering God's grace and blessing not only on their loved one who is passing away, but also on everybody who is gathered in the midst of the circle. Jesus knew that this was his last words, the last instructions, the last commands, the last directives that he was going to give to the disciples before he took off. He said, "You're going to do even greater things than I did." Why? Because the Holy Spirit is with you. And then, as if they were about to protest, Jesus said, "Fear not, I will be with you even until the end of the age." I mean, you can see these disciples already anxious. "What, Jesus, you're leaving us and you're giving us this monumental task of going out into the world to share our faith, to tell our stories, and you're leaving us?" And Jesus' reassurance, which is offered in as much to them 2,000 years ago as it is today, "Fear not, for I am with you even until the end of the age." Pastor Lindsay said in her sermon last week that evangelism is scary. It's hard to go out and share our faith with other people. That's certainly true. And maybe you're wondering, so what exactly did these guys do with the great commission that Jesus entrusted them with and charged them with at the end of his life with the last words that he uttered here on this earth? Well, churches were started all across the Mediterranean. Some of the disciples went east to the southern parts of Europe. Other disciples went into Asia. Other disciples went into Africa. And the good news of Jesus Christ was spread all throughout that part of the world. Another question you might ask is, how exactly did they do this? And the book of Acts is filled with stories of the disciples being filled with the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised to send to help them do the work that Jesus commissioned them to do in this very verse. To help them, I've always thought of the Holy Spirit as this sort of deep intestinal feeling that I get inside my stomach that tells me to either do something or refrain from doing it. My conscience. I've always felt like that was one of the ways that God talked to me, that somehow deep within the fiber of my being, there was like some little antenna that was connected to the Holy Spirit, prompting my actions and leading me. It doesn't mean I always hear it or respond to it. It doesn't mean that I always get it right, but that's what the disciples did. Oftentimes in the book of Acts, it says that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he went on to do something sort of miraculous or transformational in the early Christian community. I want to tell you a story about the Apostle Paul in Acts 26. He's going before King Agrippa and he's testifying before them because he's on trial because he believes in the resurrection of Jesus. And in the midst of the trial, the king says, "What do you have to say for yourself? We ought to put you to death. This ought to be the end of your ministry, of the end of your life. What is it, this message that you're preaching?" And he's standing there with nothing else besides his own story. So he launches in and he says, "You all have heard my story before. You all know the journey that I've been on to get to this moment. I used to be one of you. I used to be a person of faith in the Jewish tradition. And in the midst of a moment that transformed my life in ways that I can barely describe, except to describe to you exactly what happened to me, my life was forever changed. Paul was walking to Damascus when all of a sudden he saw a bright light and he heard the voice of Jesus saying, "Paul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting my followers? Why are you putting them to death?" And Paul couldn't attest for his actions. And in that moment, his life was forever transformed. And he said that very experience of experiencing the voice and the likeness and Jesus Christ talking to him in the flesh in that moment was enough for him to have conviction that there is hope in the afterlife, which he went on to preach to whoever would listen to him. It changed his life, that moment. And so I want to ask you, as we conclude this sermon series about invitation, what's your story? What are the moments in your life where you felt a close experience with God that led you in the direction of being a part of a spiritual family? Now, some people have a hard time articulating an exact moment that they felt God's presence. They just describe it as a constant, ongoing reassurance that God is real in their life. Well, that's great. That's absolutely wonderful. And perhaps that's the way that you would share your faith if you were to take this Great Commission seriously. In the 21st century, there are lots of ways that we share our faith as a church. Many of them are lived out through our missions projects here at the church by supporting people who are hungry or who don't have a home that consistently exists over their head, shelter. We also share our faith by going out and building homes for Habitat for Humanity. I remember one story that was shared during my time at Cass Community Social Services, which is a ministry down in the city of Detroit that helps homeless folks. I heard a story about a resident that had begun his life homeless, but once he encountered Cass Community Social Services in Detroit, he described what a difference it had made in his life to go from being a person that everywhere he went, he would pull on the door late at night when he was cold and the door was locked from the inside out. And eventually, after his experiences at Cass Community Social Services, he told the story about what it was like for the first time in his life to be able to hold up some of these. He said, "For the first time in my life, instead of being locked out of everything, I have the ability to lock my own door and feel comfortable and safe and secure within the comfort of my own home." Maybe fulfilling the Great Commission in our world today looks like inviting people into a small group, a place where they can study the Bible, study a book, a spiritual book in the midst of Christian community. Maybe inviting somebody into one of the studies that is launching this fall might be one of the ways that you can be fulfilling this great task that Jesus gave to the disciples 2,000 years ago that we continue to live out today. Maybe your way of fulfilling the Great Commission is reaching out to folks that you know are struggling in one way, shape, form, or another. Maybe by sitting down to write a card sometime this week to send it to somebody who you know might be down in their luck, letting them know that you love them and care for them, that you support them, that you're standing behind them, that they're not alone. After all, there are a lot of ways, I think, to make disciples of Jesus Christ, to go out and proclaim the good news of Christ in our world today. And I encourage you to spend some time this week thinking about some folks in your life that you might be able to reach out to, that you might be able to share your story with. At the end of the day, when Paul got finished testifying before King Agrippa and all those on the council, he said, "It's my great hope that someday you will end up exactly like me, minus these chains." The Apostle Paul stood there while he was on trial and he said, "It's my hope that someday you will adopt the same faith, hope, and love that I have in my heart." And sure enough, as they went back to deliberate on what exactly it was that Paul was being charged with and what he should be convicted of, they said, "This man has no reason to be put to death. There's done absolutely nothing wrong that is worthy of a crime." I encourage you to share your spiritual story with somebody. Spend a couple of moments this week thinking about the touch points that have transformed your life. And spend some time thinking about who you might be able to share that story with. At the end of the day, it matters very little to me whether or not they end up in this church or any other. My hope is that they can find a spiritual community that affirms them, that helps them grow in their faith. But if not, it's my hope that they continue to use you as a conduit for that faith, hope, and love. That you might be the only gospel that some folks ever read. That you might be an ambassador of God's good news in our world today. That your story might be an inspiration for somebody who needs to hear good news. At the end of the day, I think we all have an opportunity as the summer concludes and we enter into the fall season where so many ministries at the church kick off. We have an opportunity, I think, to be that very good news of Jesus Christ. And it's my encouragement to you that you find somebody in your life to share that good news with, because you never know how that might transform somebody's life. We encourage you to take Jesus' last words seriously. To go out and make disciples to transform the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Today our prayer quotes are being shared with Barb Lane, John Rowe, and Karen Struble. Please join me in praying for them. Dear Heavenly Father, on this day of worship, we lift up to you John and Barb and Karen. Will you turn them into your loving care? May they feel your loving embrace this day. As they wrap themselves in these prayer quilts, may they not only feel the loving embrace of you, Lord, but may they feel the comfort and the love and the support of our church community. Oh, Lord, you know their needs, you know their hardships, you know their hearts. And so, God, we pray that you might bring peace and comfort and healing. Loving God, you are our great physician. You, God, who are always there in our greatest time of need. And so this day, Lord, hear our prayers for John and Barb and Karen. Lord, in your great mercy, amen.
God is good. All the time. Amen. Good morning, church. I hope today finds you well. I want to thank you for taking time out to join us in worship this morning, and I hope you find something today that makes you feel blessed, and hopefully you can take that out and share with your friends, neighbors, and family. As we come down to the last few days of summer, I hope you get a chance to get out and enjoy some of the good weather we have left, and I hope you have some time to spend with your family and friends, enjoying the times before the weather changes. Now, will you go with me to God in an attitude of prayer? Glorious God of goodness and mercy, how great are your gifts to us and to all your children. You are our help and strength in all the times of our lives. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We feel your love. We keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open to your word, to your love, and to your blessings. Encourage our friends, our family, our neighbors, that they may find the ability to love as you do, to care for each other, and to show your love to those that need it. Reveal your goodness to all who cannot attend today. Strengthen and sustain them. Teach us how we can best support and encourage them. We encourage those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help. Those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships. Those that are struggling with health issues. Those that have lost loved ones. Those that are struggling with financial burdens. Help them understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them, that you give your blessings to those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. We pray for strength and hope, those across the world suffering from Hurricane Ida, wildfires out west, earthquakes, and all that Mother Nature has dealt us. We also pray for those torn by the conflict in Afghanistan. We pray for those people that they may know your love is there for them, and pray that they turn to you in their time of need for strength and hope. Bless our leaders and give them guidance, that the decisions they make may be tempered with your love. Give them strength to make the decisions that will give us hope. Guide them with your mercies, that your love may fill their hearts, that your love may be shown through them. Unite your church so that we may be an example of harmony and justice in a world torn by conflict. Reveal your will to all people. Fill us with the courage to live out your righteousness as a sign of your goodness. When Jesus appeared to the disciples and offered them peace, we learned about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that fills our lives with your love and your hope. O God, in this time of worship, we give thanks that you are ever with us. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Enable us always to be grateful for all you give us, even when we take your goodness for granted. Now we turn to you in a time of silent prayer and meditation, with our own personal concerns, as well as a time of silent praise for you and all the wonders of our world. In times of need and doubt, the disciples went to Jesus for comfort and for strength. May we remember that that Jesus is our source of comfort and strength as well. Now we come to you seeking, searching, and looking to you. When the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, he said, "Pray like this." And we now repeat that prayer, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Well, church, I look forward to the day when we can all join back together again, and I can see your bright, smiling faces, and I hope that that day is soon. Have a blessed day. Enjoy the rest of the service. And don't forget, God loves you. We do too. And there ain't a darn thing you can do about it. Amen.
May the Lord be with you as we gather at the communion table, a holy and a sacred time to meet God and to commune with one another. If you're worshiping from home, I would invite you to find some bread or crackers, as well as some juice or maybe some water, as we share the feast of our Lord's table together. This is the Lord's table, and it's not your table or my table or the United Methodist table specifically, so it's open to all people. Whether you've been worshiping your entire life and you call yourself a United Methodist, or you are just worshiping with us online for the very first time, or if you've never been to church before, this is Christ's table, open to all people who seek to love God and love neighbor. We welcome you here into this time, into this space. As we gather around the communion table, we remember that on the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he was gathered with his disciples in the upper room, and that evening he took bread, the bread of life, and he blessed it. He lifted it up to heaven, he blessed it, he gave thanks to God for it, and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, telling them to take and to eat, for this is my body given for you. Eat, do this in remembrance of me. As Jesus and the disciples dined in the upper room, as they conversed and they enjoyed time together, then the supper was over. And when it was over, Jesus then took a cup, and again, he gave thanks to God for it. He blessed it, and he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you may drink it, in remembrance of me. This is the cup of grace. And so, in remembrance of these mighty acts of Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy, as a living sacrifice. We offer our lives, ourselves back in thanksgiving for Christ's offering for us, knowing that Christ has died and Christ has risen and Christ will come again. Pray with me, church. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered, and on these gifts of the bread and the cup, Lord, make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all of the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. The bread of life given for you. Thanks be to God. The cup of grace poured out for you. Thanks be to God. Amen. From the abundance from which each of us have received from God, you are invited to share a portion of that back to God. Maybe as you're worshiping, you're sitting at home on your couch. What a blessing it is to have a couch and a home. Or maybe as you're worshiping, maybe you are enjoying a cup of coffee or some breakfast. Oh, what a blessing it is to have food on our tables. Or maybe as you're worshiping at a home, maybe there's a loved one nearby, or a church friend that you could quickly call upon, or a neighbor next door. What a blessing it is to have community, to have relationships. All of these things are tremendous blessings from God. We also receive financial blessings, however great or small. We each have financial blessings, and in return for thanks for all that God has given us, and to participate in the great mission and ministry of Jesus Christ, particularly through this congregation of First United Methodist in Brighton and Whitmore Lake, we would invite you to share that abundance you've received back to God through the work of the church. So whether you go online or mail your check in or stop by the main office, thank you. Thank you for your tithes and offerings that are shared this day. May we give joyfully, may we give generously, and may we imagine the endless possibilities that God can do as we work together to build the kingdom of God here on earth. Amen.
I have heard my people cry.
you so much for joining us for worship this week. We hope that this service was a blessing to you and your family as you watch with us online. We hope that the service and the message touched your life and drew you into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. As we conclude our time together, just want to let you know about a couple of announcements. We're so excited that just next week we are going to be passing out Bibles to kindergartners and third graders. So we encourage you to come if you're interested in receiving a third grade Bible or a kindergarten Bible. We're excited to be able to pass those out to you and your family. We've got a service here at Brighton's campus at 9:30 and another one at 11 a.m. And then we also have a service at Whitmore Lake, and we would just love to be able to pass out those Bibles to you and your family. In addition to that, wanted to share with you that we're so excited on the 26th, we're going to be having an all-church worship service at Whitmore Lake, 26th of September at 11 a.m. We would love to have you join us. The service will be outside by the lake, and we're excited to be able to gather together as one church, coming together from two locations for a special worship service at 11 a.m. As we close our time together, I just want to share we are looking for Sunday school teachers. If you're interested in teaching Sunday school this year, we would love to have you join us and help teach the curriculum that we've selected for our children and students here at the church. If you'd like to do that, please contact the church office and we will put you in touch with our new Director of Children and Student Ministries, Allison. We can't wait to start this new year, and we hope that you're a huge part of it. Next week, the nursery will be open, and we can't wait to accept folks and welcome folks back into our building, into our spaces, and into our Sunday school wing. As you depart from this place, I pray you would go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.